Galatians chapter two, and we're going to read tonight just one verse. Galatians chapter two and verse 20. Just one verse, just 44 words, but it makes a tremendous statement. Now, I want us to consider it this evening. Let's read it together. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Ask that you'll speak to us through it this evening. Give us what we need from it. Help us, Lord, to grow thereby. Lord, help us to examine our own heart's relationship with you. Lord, as always, we pray if there's a soul here who doesn't know you as Savior, may they trust you in this hour. For those of us who do know you, may we take a fresh look at our daily life in the light of the cross. Our Father, bless and speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking on Sunday nights at the doctrine of the Trinity. We did a long series of messages on the Spirit of God. And then more recently, we've been doing a series on the Son of God. Now, we're not finished with that series, but we're not too far from finished with it either. We're getting near the end. Now, I'm going to make a few statements here, and they are simple statements, but I want you to follow me carefully. Statement number one, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Pure and simple. Statement number two, that is truth. Statement number three, it is historical truth. Statement number four, it is doctrinal truth. Statement number five, it is eternal truth. Now, all that is exactly what we said is truth. But now, here's another question. Even though that's all true, and I affirm to you that it is, how does that apply to you and I living in the 21st century in the United States, a different part of the world from where Jesus was crucified? 2,000 plus years after Jesus was crucified. What does that have to do with you and I today? Now, I'm going to tell you, there was a point in my life where I understood everything I've just told you, but I didn't get that connection. If you had asked me at that point in my life, do you believe that God has a son? I would have said yes. If you said, do you believe his name is Jesus Christ? I would have said yes. If you had said, do you believe that he died on a cross, was buried, and rose again? I would have said yes. But I didn't see what that had to do with me living 2,000 years later in another part of the world. I didn't doubt it was true. Just didn't see a connection. Now I want to try to help you to see that connection this evening. And this verse, Galatians 2:20, which again only has 44 words in it, will help us to understand that very connection. Now take a look at it, if you will. First statement that Paul makes here, he says, I am crucified with Christ. I want you to think about that for a moment. There's a great song. I just asked somebody recently to sing this song. It's been sung here and in countless other places for years. But the song says, were you there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Now, that's a good question, isn't it? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And the chorus says, oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? So let me ask you that question. Were you there? No, you weren't, were you? And I wasn't either. And can I share something else with you that might surprise you a little bit? Those first two days that you weren't there, so I hope doesn't surprise you. And I hope you don't really think that I was there, although I've had people think things similar to that. But was Paul there? And the answer is no. As near as we can tell, Paul wasn't in Jerusalem at the time of the crucifixion. He was there not too long after, shortly after he was there, but it does not appear that he was actually present at the time of the crucifixion. And when he says, I'm crucified with Christ, if you look at the gospel accounts, there were only two people crucified with Christ, and they were thieves. Was Paul one of those thieves? No. Were you one of those thieves? He'd say, certainly not. Was I one of those thieves? No. Then how does Paul say, and how can we say, I am crucified with Christ? Well, evidently, it doesn't mean that we were literally present at the time, at least in the physical sense. What does that mean? Well, were we represented at the cross? Absolutely. The Lord Jesus himself represented us. That's what it means when it says Christ died for our sins. Now, I'll give you something else to think about. I want you to think through your life. Just kind of do a quick scan in your mind, in your memory, and see if you can think of anything that you've ever done that might be sin. Don't tell anybody what it is. Don't turn to the person next to you. Don't name it out loud. I'm not looking for that. Just can you think of anything you ever did that might be sin? Now, if you're honest, you're going to say yes. And if you're not honest and say no, I can think of one for you. But the fact is, whatever it was that came to your mind when I said think of something, you said, when it says Christ died for our sins, that's it. That's what Jesus died for. That right there. Well, wasn't it all the other things I did wrong? Of course. But I want you to think specifically. That's it. So, were you represented at the crucifixion of Jesus? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Christ died for our sins. So what Paul is also telling us is that we are so closely related in our heart and our mind with the crucifixion of Jesus that we count ourselves as having died with him. Now that's a little bit different than the fact that he represented us in dying for our sins, which again, he most certainly did. What we're saying here is this: as Jesus was crucified, so we consider ourselves to be crucified. If you want an expansion on that truth and say, man, where'd you get that idea? Read the 6th chapter of Romans. And they give you a pretty good doctrinal treatise on the idea of identifying with being crucified with Christ. What Paul is teaching in Romans 6 overall is that we are dead to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ. And we need to be dead to sin. Now, being dead to sin means what? It means that we're no longer tempted to sin. Wow. Preacher, are you no longer tempted to sin? I didn't say that. I said that's what being dead means. Being dead to sin, we're separated from it. Now, folks, I'll be honest with you, and I think everybody here could say pretty much the same thing. I am dead to certain sins. By that, I mean there are certain things that tempt some people that don't tempt me at all. And I've said this here many times, but I think it's worth repeating at this point. There are some things that really are sore temptations for people that don't tempt me at all. And I could stand here for probably 15 minutes telling you all the things that don't tempt me, that I don't have a problem with, and those are not my sins, they're not my temptations. You can bring it around me, in front of me, and I have no problem with it at all. And I can make myself sound really, really good. But then if I change and I spent just 2 minutes telling you things that do tempt me, you say, whoa, geez, that guy's not only is not as good as I thought, he's not much good at all. You see, we all have our temptations. And what we have to do, those things that we are dead to, those things that are no temptation to us at all, that's wonderful. We need to take those things that are temptation and have those crucified as well. We identify in our heart and our mind and our life with the crucifixion of Christ. But then he says this. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm not dead. Here I am walking around, living, breathing, human being. You see me. I'm alive physically. I'm alive spiritually. I'm still living. And when he says, Yet I live. Is he talking about eternal life? Well, of course he is. But he's also talking about every day here and now life. You and I have to live in this world. Here's a question. We brought it up before, but again, I think it helps us to rethink it. You ever think much about this? Maybe not. Maybe I'm the only person who thinks about these things. I don't know. You ever think why the day that you got saved, you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? He saved you. He forgave your sins. He gave you a home eternal in heaven. Why he didn't just take you to heaven right then and save you a whole lot of trouble? You ever wonder about that? I've thought about that. Wouldn't that be convenient? Trust the Lord as Savior, truly, go to heaven right there. Wow. Think of all the stuff you wouldn't have to deal with. So why doesn't God do that? And the answer is God's wiser than we are. He's smarter than we are. Could he do that? Sure, he could do that. So why doesn't he do that? Because we have some work to do. And we are supposed to live a life that helps others to go to heaven. See, if the Lord took me to heaven the night I was saved, who'd I be taking with me? Probably nobody. But he's given me all these years to work at getting other people to go along. I think it's a wonderful thing. And let me add something to that I want you to think seriously about. How many of you here, and maybe you've done it, and if you have, don't get defensive, I'm not attacking it, I'm asking some questions. How many of you here either have been involved in, or you know somebody who's involved in multi-level marketing? Okay? Just one hand, that's hard to believe. That's hard to believe. Okay. And the rest of you not telling the truth. I don't know where he's going with this, but I'm not. I'm not after anything there except this. How do you know when a person's involved in multi-level marketing? How do you know? It's simple, folks. It's not hard. How do you know when somebody's involved in multi-level marketing? They'll tell you. That's how you know. They're going to tell you. They're going to tell you all about it. Why? They want you to get involved. Make sense? Okay. How do you know when you meet somebody who's very politically active? I don't mean they just have opinions. I mean they're involved. And they're out there to get bills passed and candidates elected. How do you know that's that person? They'll tell you. They will. You don't have to ask. They'll come right out and tell you. So what are you getting at? What I'm getting at is how do you know when somebody's a Christian? You would like to think so, wouldn't you? So often that's not the case. So often we are not out there telling people. They have to find it out by accident many times. Oh, you're a Christian? I didn't know that. Kind of like the story I heard years ago about a young fellow. I grew up in a Christian home and parents tried to rear him in the nurtured admonition of the Lord. He was in church all his life, and then he went off to a state college. And his mother was worried about him. She prayed about him. She was worried that he might get a little bit of persecution in college. So first break that he came home, she said to him, says, son, how was it? Did you get any trouble? Did anybody bother you because you're Christian? He said, Mom, you had nothing to worry about. Nobody ever knew. That's kind of how it is, isn't it? Billy Graham used to say, don't keep the faith, share it. What I'm trying to help you to know and what I'm trying to help you to understand is this. We need to be more vocal about it. And we need to let people know that we're Christians. You say, well, preacher, I'm shy. Welcome to the club. Well, I am too. It was a great day for me. It was a big help for me when I found out that one of the pastors that I looked up to the most was also shy. He had a hard time talking to people. No, he did it all the time. So, well, don't you talk to people all the time? I do. But it's no easier for me than it is for you. Oh, yeah, it is. I could never stand up there and talk to people like you do. How do you know? Well, I tried it. I just get too nervous. What if you did this? What if you forgot about yourself and you said, Lord, help me? Then you think you can do it?
Yes.
You could. You could. That's the same way you talk to one person at a time. Same way. So when he says, nevertheless I live, he's talking about living a daily Christian life. Crucified to the old life, resurrected, living the new life. So he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. What does he mean, not I? He's saying this is not something I do by my own strength. And he's saying this is not merely a physical life that we live. Do you realize, and I hope you do, that the man who wrote, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, is the exact same person who wrote, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? Same fellow. Same fellow wrote both things. He wrote it to two different churches, but he's writing the same thing. Actually, more than two churches. But the point is, he wrote different audiences. He's writing the same thing. Worded a little differently, but same concept, same idea. When he says, I can do all things through Christ, he doesn't mean I can do this anything in the world. I wish it did mean that. I wish it meant that. Lord, I'd like to fly a business space station. Can I go? Here we go. You know? Can I do that? No. Well, it's not God's will for me to do that. It isn't. And I don't believe it would serve any great purpose in God's plan if I did do that. I really don't. You're saying it's wrong to go to space? I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying for me to do it supernaturally wouldn't serve any great purpose in God's plan. I don't think it'd bring anybody to believe in the Lord. I don't think it would strengthen anybody's faith. I just don't think it would accomplish anything. Again, God is wiser than we are. So what Paul meant when he said, I can do all things through Christ, specifically, he says, I know how to be abound, I know how to be abased. But he's saying, I know how to live it with plenty, I know how to live it when I don't have anything. I can do it all through Christ, who strengthens me. That's what he meant specifically. What he meant generally was this, I can live the Christian life through Christ who strengthens me. I can do whatever God wants me to do, whatever is God's will for me to do, I can do that through Christ who strengthens me. And that's the same thing he's saying here. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Jesus said this in John chapter 15. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. Now, what he really meant when he said you can do nothing is you can do nothing. That's what he really meant. You need him. You ever sing that song, I need thee every hour, O precious Lord? That's a wonderful hymn, but it's also a wonderful truth. So I need Christ to live day to day. I need to be in touch with him. I need to have his strength. Now I need him for eternal life. Christ liveth in me, Paul says. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now that's true. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 3 to 7, Jesus teaches us that we must be born again. Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12, Jesus, we're taught by John that if we receive Jesus, we become children of God. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 teaches us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Colossians 1, 27 speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I want you to take your Bible and don't believe Galatians, but back up with me to the book of Romans, if you would, and go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm trying to help you get the idea of what God, through Paul, is teaching us here in Galatians 2:20. Romans chapter 8, same writer, Paul, and look at verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. First part of verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. That's an interesting statement. Now, what did he say over in Galatians 2:20? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So what's he saying in Romans 8:9? You're not in the flesh. You're not in this physical life only, but you are in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Again, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now look at the next sentence in verse 9. This strikes me. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, if Christ isn't in you, if you do not live by the faith of the Son of God, if it is not Christ in you, the hope of glory, if Christ isn't in you, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You know what that means? You don't belong to him. You're not one of his. Well, preacher, do I have Christ in me? Well, let me ask you this. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you asked him to save you, forgive your sins, give you eternal life? And when you ask, did you believe that he would do it? Oh, yeah. And then you have Christ in you. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Now look at verse 9 again. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, crucified with Christ. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, Christ in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is what Paul is saying when he says, Christ liveth in me, and the life which I live now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now let's look at the same truth. Again, leave Romans 8 and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want you to look at verse 15. This is part of, obviously, a longer passage. But let's pick it up in verse 15. 2 Corinthians 6:15, Paul writes, "In what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, because of the fact that God says, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." What a wonderful truth he gives us here. This is our spiritual life. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Yes, we are born again. We live eternally because we put our faith in the Son of God. But we live every day by the faith of the Son of God. And then finally, Galatians 2:20, he says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We sang all the hymns we sang this morning. The morning service had to do with Jesus' love, all of them. And then tonight we've sung about our great Savior. Another hymn. I'll be honest with you, I have two favorite hymns, and of the two, this is number one. Part of that hymn says, amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? died he for me, who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. That is amazing love. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. We need Jesus to be saved. We need Jesus in order to have our sins forgiven. We need Jesus in order to enter heaven and to have eternal life. We need Jesus just to get by day after day. That's why you've heard all your Christian life, if you've been saved very long, you've heard preachers say, you need to have time that you spend with God. You need to spend time in the Word. You need to spend time in prayer. You need to have time that you spend with God. Now, there are great Christians who have, and I'm not saying anything negative about this, please understand me, who have said they spent hours every day with the Lord. They say that John Wesley would spend 3 or 4 hours every day in the Word and in prayer. 3 or 4 hours, there's only 24 hours, they only have 20 hours left, they didn't spend very much of his time. As he got older in his life, I think he was in his 80s, he wrote in his journal that he was discouraged by the fact that he had a growing desire to stay in bed past 5 a.m. Folks, maybe you are living a life that you say, I can't spend 3 or 4 hours a day studying and praying. I'd like to, but I can't. You know God understands that. He does. But here's my challenge. You suppose you could spend 5 minutes a day? Yes, I could. Find it somewhere. How about 10? Well, yeah, I could probably do 10 minutes. Okay. Why don't you set that for a goal? You know, something I found in setting goals spiritually and otherwise, set long-term goals, things you want to do, big goals, but set a lot of smaller goals that you're going to reach a lot sooner, and you can measure your success. You say, I can't do 3 hours a day. Do 5 minutes. You can do 5, do 10. And see how to change your life. We'll close with this. There's a great story, old story, about a great concert pianist who was known the world over, performed before great crowds. He said this. He said, if I miss one day of practice, very accomplished, one of the most accomplished pianists in the world. He said, if I miss one day of practice, I could tell the difference. They said, if I miss 2 days of practice, my wife can tell the difference in my playing. They said, if I miss 3 days of practice, everybody can tell the difference in my playing. You see the application? I miss 1 day spending time, Lord. I may be the only one who knows the difference. A couple of days, my wife will probably know the difference. You miss very many days, everybody's going to know. This is what Paul is teaching us here. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. The old man is dead. Nevertheless, I live that new life in Christ. Yes, it's not. I don't do it by myself. Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for blessing us. Thank you for this time we've had together this evening. Thank you for time to look into your word. And Lord, it is my earnest prayer that you help each of us to examine our own personal spiritual walk. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you that you gave yourself for us. Thank you that you're alive today. We trust and follow a living Savior. Lord, help us to realize that we need to rely upon you, not only for our eternal soul salvation, that's to be sure, but for our everyday life. heads bowed, eyes are closed, really no strangers here tonight. Sing a hymn of invitation. If God's spoken to you, you come on and respond. Father, bless them at this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're singing tonight.